Well, the Lord is good, is he not? All the time. Or as they say in East Africa, all the times. God is good all the times, brother, all the times. Hallelujah. We're so glad that you're with us here tonight, especially those of you that are our first-time guests. We thank you for being here. Sunday nights, usually one of the pastoral staff will be teaching and preaching on Sunday nights. But if you're visiting for the first time, make sure you come back when Pastor Hagen, Miss Hagen, Pastor Craig, Pastor Denise, our executive pastors, executive team, when they're ministering, especially on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, you want to be here. Glory to God. We've got the best pastors in the whole world. Amen. Glory to God. Not only are they our pastors, Rhema Bible Church pastors, but you know, they're pastors to ministers, missionaries, other pastors, other all kinds, and then people all over the world. And so we just thank God, and we're happy to share them with the world, but we are a little jealous of them, and we love to have them here with us. So praise God. We welcome you tonight. We're so glad that you are all with us. I'm continuing a series on the aspects of faith. Aspects of faith. We're looking at four aspects of faith. So far, we have said, number one, the just shall live by faith. There are four references in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, three in the New Testament, that say the just shall live by faith. Well, you know something? Well, kind of a play on words. If I could just be just. Well, what's it mean to be just? Just in the idea of the Bible and with God is to be right with God, to be justified, to declared righteous, to be acquitted in one sense and justified. How many of you know we were all guilty? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God that God was in Christ, not imputing our trespasses unto us. Amen? And he's reconciled himself to us. And so we are now to live by faith. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. But as a child of God and the way God's kingdom operates, we live by faith. We thank God for it seems like events of faith, but we don't live from event of faith to event of faith. We live by faith on a daily basis. The just shall live by faith. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so that's important that we understand. This is something why it's important to understand faith, because we are to live by faith. And it carries with it the idea of a daily application, a daily moment-by-moment living by faith. And we're going to look at a scripture tonight that talks about the spirit of faith. There's an attitude of faith. There's just a way of thinking and believing and acting that goes along with believing God. Amen? Living by faith. The second thing we said was, and all of these are available in the bookstore, and if you want to pick up a copy or watch them on, I know the Rumble channel, Rumble USA, Rhema USA Rumble channel, you can find them there sometimes on YouTube also. The second one is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember Hebrews 11:6 says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We mentioned that Brother Hagin said, Kenneth E. Hagin, not pastor, his father, but Kenneth E. Hagin said, faith pleases God more than anything else. Doubt displeases God more than anything else. And we talked about how, you know, every father wants their children to be able to believe him. Well, God's no different. He's the perfect father. And we are to live that way. Billy Graham said this, the whole purpose of our existence is to please God and not to please ourselves. Living a life pleasing to God is so vitally important. Last time, our point number three is, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we talked about how that we have to hear on purpose. Make the decision that we're going to believe what the Bible says. In the last probably year and a half to 2 years, just the continual reminder of Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true. No matter what Tad believes, no matter what Tad's thinking, no matter what Tad's experiencing, the truth is found in the Word of God. Isn't that right? Hey, Joel, welcome back. I hadn't said hi to you yet. Joel was one of our World Mission School interns, and he was with us when we were in Columbia here about a month or so, over a month ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long already. Anyway, I just saw him back there. Praise the Lord. So, sorry. Hello to every one of you. How many of you remember Romper Room? Did any of you watch Romper Room? Did your name ever get called? No, she never said, "I see Tad out there." Never said my name. Somebody, if you don't know what Romper Room is, well, that's all right. The Bible says, let the ignorant remain ignorant still. But we said Thomas made a decision not to believe. He said, "I will not believe." Now, we realize this, that every word of God has the potential to deposit faith in us. The potential for deposits of faith are there. And it comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhemas of God, the word of God, especially that's revealed, and to the place where we go beyond just hearing and we understand. But it starts with that decision. I will believe. Don't be like Thomas. Jesus said, don't be faithless, Thomas, but believing. Let's make the decision ahead of time to be believing. So every time, you know, you spend your daily time, you're reading the Bible. Every time you're listening to the Bible taught or preached, you're making a decision ahead of time. I'm going to believe what's in the word of God. And I'm going to take it. And even if I don't understand it, I'm going to believe it. All right? And our fourth aspect that we want to talk about, and I doubt very seriously we'll get through this tonight, but that's all right. Lord willing, we'll have another opportunity to discuss this. But number four is faith is released in two main modes, if you will. Two main modes, speaking and action. Faith is released in two main modes. Modes sounded a whole lot more fancy than ways. Two main modes, speaking and action. If you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Let's read that. I'm going to read from the King James Bible tonight. And I do tend to take the these and the thous out, if that's all right with you. Sorry if that offends you, but get over it. Amen. No, I like the King James. When I first got born again, everybody I heard preaching and everybody that God led us to listen to, me and my family and others, was using the King James Bible. So I just got used to it. Then, you know, I used it all through my time here at Bible school and in preaching. But then when I started having Bible lessons in the youth group, I found out those teenagers don't speak King James English. So I would just read through and I would just kind of take the these and thous out for them without changing the meaning. So if I do that tonight, you understand why. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to jump right into this in verse 13, just for time's sake tonight. It said, we having the same spirit of faith. Now notice that, same spirit of faith. Not saying there's a, not like the Holy Spirit of faith or a spirit from God. The spirit here is really carries the idea of the attitude of faith. There's an attitude. Have you ever heard somebody say they got a good spirit about them? That's their demeanor. Faith, haven't you realized this? Faith has a demeanor. Yeah. Faith changes you. It causes you, you know, if you're living by faith, you're not all probably all hunched over, just depressed, looking down all the time. No, you throw your shoulders back, lift your head up high. Why? Because you're believing God. You're believing God. How can I be upset when God's on my side? He said he never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, we can boldly say, I'm not afraid what man can do. I'm not afraid. Glory to God. But we having that same spirit of faith. Now notice, how does that faith, what's faith's attitude? What's faith's demeanor? According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Therefore speak. Now I want you to notice here that faith, we see faith in two things here. Faith, obviously, it's what we believe. We're believing, but we're speaking what it is that we believe. So vital that we understand that and we cling to that. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't joke sometimes in that, but even some of that. Why would we ever be saying the opposite of what we want to happen in life? And then when I find out what God's word says about it, why would I speak contrary to what God's word says? Now remember, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, we're going to have circumstances, we're going to have symptoms, we're going to have situations that arise that are against God's word. Paul said, all who live godly will suffer persecution. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But what did he say? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Paul went on to tell Timothy, remember he said, the Lord has delivered me out of them all. So even though we face those things, you see, we face those things, we don't speak of those things as if they were permanent because those are only temporary. You realize everything on this earth is temporary. If we left this pulpit sit here, I don't know how many years it would take, but eventually, you know, it would fall apart. It would rot. Everything on this earth is temporary. This body that you're sitting in there tonight, it's temporary. You know, the hair that I had on my head, it was temporary. I was there in Kenya one time and I was teaching and I said, you know what? I said, I just know, I said, you know, I was trying to just kind of loosen them up a little bit. People were, you know, it was the afternoon, everybody eating, and it was kind of, you know. And I said, you know what? I said, the Bible talks about Enoch walked with God and was not. You know, he just came in and he got that so far out there with God. And just, I just believe he got to talking to God and he just said, I'd rather go with you, God, than go back. God said, come on. I said, that's what happened with my hair. I was out there, I was fellowshipping with God, and some of my hair said, I'm not coming back, I'm going with God. And I said, it's there in heaven waiting on me. And then I saw people writing that. I said, no, no, no. And so if you hear of the heaven and hair doctrine, it's my fault, I'm sorry. But I was joking. But speaking, we believe and therefore speak. So all of our speech, all of the things that we're saying should be based on what we are believing. Now here's something that's true. Usually people are saying what they believe. Yeah. Sometimes all you got to do, you know, some people want to come and they need some spiritual advice. They want some help. Some kind. If you can listen to them talk long enough, and some of them will talk long, but you can listen to them talk long enough, you can find out what it is they actually believe. And then you have to go through the process of maybe tearing down that belief and rebuilding a belief system that's based on the Word of God. Well, how many of you know we need to be able to do that with ourselves individually? You know, the mature person knows how to look at that and say, you know, does this agree with God? Is that my idea? Is that coming from the devil? Is that God? Who? Where's this coming from? Now, hopefully, we've renewed our mind. We're training ourselves to think along with God, and that our thought and God's thought are going to be, you know, equal with one another. They're going to agree with one another. But if it doesn't, guess who's going to have to change? God's not going to. I have to change my way of thinking. But we all need to be able to get to that place. And Paul talked about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, looking at that. And the best, you know, and I realize at first it's like, man, there's just too much out there. It reminds me of the very first time in playing baseball that seriously, not just when, but when they seriously said, okay, we need another backup catcher, so we're gonna train you. And that was on the high school baseball team. And then throughout the summer, I would catch a lot just to be ready for the high school when we played in our summer leagues. And so that first time I put that catcher's mask on. Now today, you know, they got some of these, they're big old, but these, you know, just a mask over the top of a little helmet and that. And it was just all I could see was the wires. And that ball would come in there, and, you know, if I caught the ball, I was really happy. Then they put me up there with a batter swinging. That was a whole nother thing. But, you know, after a while, I noticed I had the mask on. The batter was there swinging. I didn't even see that. All I saw was that ball coming in there. It became natural. It should be natural for us to take our thoughts captive with the Word of God. Now, in order to do that, we've got to spend time renewing our mind. And we've got to know, and we've got to ask ourselves the question, what's the Bible say about that? What's the Word of God say about that? And then believe that. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and therefore speak that. All right? Now let's go to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. I think it's against the law in the kingdom of God to talk about faith and not go to Mark 11. If there are, you know what I'm talking about. Every kingdom has certain laws. But here, let's read this first of all. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Of course, my note, I got a note in my Bible that says, have the faith of God. Other translations say, have the God kind of faith there. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say, I am a whosoever. Now see, this just doesn't work for quote unquote faith giants. This works for whosoever. And you and I are whosoever's. This will work for you. Don't be like the person that came to me one time and said, well, not everybody can believe the Bible like you. No. It's actually, if you can believe the Bible, Tad, anybody can believe the Bible. That's what it should be. But whosoever, now go on, says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now the he here, it's not a gender term there. It's any of us. Any of us can do this. But let's notice some things here. Now, I do want to point out, and Brother Hagin mentioned this in, he told the story about how through prayer and during a time during, I believe it was 1951 in a vision, the Lord appeared to him, talked to him. In 1950, he told him, go teach my people faith. I've allowed you to. But then in another time, a little bit later on than that, he was reading this along and he said, and the Lord said to him, did you notice in Mark 11, 23 that the word say is mentioned three times and believe only once? And then Jesus said this to him, my people are not missing it in the believing part. They're missing it in the saying part. Teach them three times more on saying than believing. Now let me stop and just say, he didn't say it's three times more important what you say than what you believe. He just said people are believing, but they're missing it on what they're saying. And so let's notice, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Now I want you to notice the specifics of that. He says, whosoever shall say to this, now he's standing by a mountain when he says that, this mountain. So this, whatever it is, whatever that mountain is, he said, you are to speak to it. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, doesn't matter what it is in your life, and everybody is dealing with life. Everybody's got something, you know, because the world's going away from God, and it keeps smacking into us as we're going towards God, and it's trying to tear us down. And, you know, the devil hates you because he hates God, and all right, and you're the temple of the living God, but he just hates people altogether because they're made in the image of God, and he's not. He wants to be God. And how many of you realize he wants to remake us in his image? Do you remember in James chapter 3 that it says the tongue is set on fire of hell? It said if you can tame your tongue, you can tame your whole body. See, the devil wants you to use your words and burn your life up. Set on fire. He wants you to, because why? He understands. He tried it. He tried to do it, but didn't have the right to do it. He tried it in heaven. I will do this. I will do this. I will do that. I will take my throne and ascend above the stars of God. I will be them. The King James says, I'll be like the Most High, but you hear the attitude, I will be the Most High God. See, he tried to do what? Call things that be not as though they were. He's trying to speak, but he didn't have the right to do that. But you and I have been given that right because we're created in the image of God. So whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now notice the specificness of that. Speaking directly to whatever the mountain is. It could be sickness or disease. It could be financial. It could be emotional. It could be mental. It could be relationship. It could be everything. Now listen, I will say this now. You can't speak to another person to be removed and cast into the sea. Now you have authority over this. If someone's trying to keep you from doing what God called you to do, there's spiritual action behind that. You have authority over those spirits. But you don't have authority over the person. Amen. And I know nobody here at Rhema would do this. I know nobody here would tell their spouse to be cast into the sea or anything like that. But I just want to bring that up when it comes to that. We don't have authority over the wills of other people. Thank God we do have authority over the devil. Aren't you glad for that? So speak, he said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, how do we develop that? You know, it's not, again, we're not talking about a formula. Well, have I said it three times more than I believe? No, that's not what he said. He just told Brother Hagin, teach on saying it, because that's where people are missing it. I heard Charles Capp say this, where Charles has gone home to be with the Lord, and Brother Hagin said that in the later part of his ministry that the Lord told him, you don't have to teach on faith so much. There's others that are teaching just as good or better than you. And he said one of those is Charles Capps. Brother Charles said, he said that in his time he was studying the Word and he heard this by the Spirit of God. I told my people they could have what they say, and they're saying what they have. See the difference in that? I'm sick. I can't pay my bills. Amen. You know, thank God for, everybody say, thank God for doctors. No, say it a little like you mean it. Thank God for doctors. But when you go to the doctor, I don't care what kind of doctor it is, in any area, they're going to tell you the facts as they see them. All right? And if the facts don't change, they're going to tell you what the end result of this could be. But the truth of God's Word never changes. And if we'll consistently apply the truth, it can change the facts. But in what happens is, you go to the doctor and they give you a diagnosis. Here's where I think Christians are missing it. We go out and tell everybody, I've got this. I've got that. I've got, you know. And almost, listen to me now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm telling you the truth. I almost wear the diagnosis as a badge of honor. You know, instead of Superman, it's... Now, I'm not saying the symptoms aren't real. I'm not saying you're not dealing with something. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you're saying what you have, not what the Word says. I'm trying to help you here, okay? I have to do this too. I'm not perfect at this either. But you heard Pastor Craig, was it last Sunday? Not this Sunday, last Sunday, he's talking about how tired he was all the time. I'm just so tired. And the more he said, no, that wasn't it. I hate school. He's in Oklahoma State University. He's going, I hate school. And the more he said it, the more he hated it. And then he finally came to, he's like, why am I saying this? So he started saying, I love it. And the more he said it, the more he loved it. Amen. See, speak what we desire. Why don't you turn over there? Turn over to Romans chapter 4. We'll skip Romans 10 there for a minute. Are you doing all right? Verse 17. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Now this is talking about Abraham here. God said, I have made you a father of many nations to him. Well, at the time, he didn't have an heir at all, didn't have any children. And after you know, the first promise when he's 75, then Sarai sent into Abram, but this before their names, you know, their names had even gotten changed, sent her in there and she got pregnant from him, so it wasn't. And then when he was 99 years old, Sarah was 90. She's past the time of having children. He's past the time of been fathering children, yet God had made a promise. What is the idea of that? He said, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. What does that mean, quickens them? God, when God wants to change something, he says something. Quicken means made alive. What did God make alive? Both of them. By what? Calling him the father of many nations. Calling things that be not as though they were. I heard one of our graduates one time preaching a sermon, and he said this: speaking of future events with as much confidence as a past fact. Speaking of future events with as much confidence as a past fact. Now, if you don't know it yet, around here, the people kind of like football around here, if you haven't found that out. All right, so we know that this last year, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Now, right now, most everybody, you know, you might say it and realize it's not going to happen, you know. But you might, right now, anybody can say, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year. But can you say it with as much confidence as that you can say that the Eagles won the Super Bowl? No. But that's a natural thing. We're dealing with God. We can speak of what, we can say what he said with as much confidence as we know something that happened in the past. That's why, you know, God, in Joshua chapter 1, God came to Joshua and said, you know, here, Joshua, got a revelation for you. Ready, Joshua? Moses is dead. So, but as I was with Moses, now Joshua had seen everything that happened with, he was there. I mean, he hung on to the mountain when Moses went up. He wouldn't leave. He was there fighting the battle when Moses' hands were lifted up. He was there doing all the things, and now Moses is gone, and God told him, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But yet, those things that God was going to be with him are future. The things that happened with Moses were past, yet God's speaking of them with as much surety that that's going to happen just as much as that did happen. And so if God speaks, God talks that way, we have to learn to talk that way. That's that spirit of faith. Believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, because that's the principle of faith. We can have what we say if we believe it. Brother Hagin said this in the book Real Faith: our confession will either imprison us or set us free. Our confession is the result of our believing, and our believing is the result of our right and wrong or wrong thinking. Have you ever thought about this? The Bible? The Bible is, if you will, a legal document. It's sealed by the blood of Jesus. In other words, that's the signature on it. But what makes it a reality in our life? Believing it and confessing it. Look at Romans chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now you see these two things working here again: believing and then speaking. Confessing is to speak what you believe. To speak what you believe in relationship to what the Bible says about it. It's speaking what you believe. Now, we should always be saying what the Word of God says about our situation. But I think in trying to, I don't know why, but again, not so much today, I don't know, but back, well, I do, not here so much, but I do hear things, you know, from some of our other campuses around the world, and what's going on in our nations, and what some people heard one here just recently. It was one of our graduates saying something. Then there was another time somebody was saying that Brother Hagin said something and never ever said that, you know, and people quote, you know, just whatever. But it used to be back, people, I don't know why people thought, well, I just can't teach the basics, these basic things of faith. I got to come up with something new. And somehow, and it was never taught, you know, the way, and that's true with any subject, you know. People hear a few sermons, then they go out and, but somehow we got this idea that all we have to do is just confess it. And it became, you didn't even have, don't believe it, just say it. Well, that's not true. And the Bible never says, if you say it enough times, you'll believe it. It never says that. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, you should believe, hopefully you can believe what you say. I see how it could help. But you cannot separate your confession from what you believe. They have to be congruent. They have to work together. Like Pastor Bill talks about two tracks. You know, talks about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit as he uses his illustration. Well, this is the same thing. It's believing and confessing. They're working together. Two rails on that track that our life of faith is on. Brother Hagin said this, you should constantly be confessing who you are according to the Word of God. That's the confession we're to hold fast to. Here he said, believe, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart. Because why? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. See, it's what I believe that puts me into righteous, puts me into right standing with God. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Believing puts me in right standing with God. And one way to think of that too is believing puts me in agreement with God. In other words, I'm believing the same thing God believes about this situation. And then my confession, he says, the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, I said, the Bible says it's mine, but how does it become mine? In reality, it becomes real in my life when I believe it and when I say it. We confess it. Confessing God's word. Confession involves affirming what we believe, testifying to what we know, and witnessing the truth that we've embraced. Affirming what we believe, testifying to what we know, and witnessing for the truth we've embraced. Consistent, faith-filled words. Can't be faith-filled unless you believe them. It's not just the words, it's they got to be filled with faith. Believe. I believe this, therefore I'm saying it. We also believe and therefore speak. I believe and I speak. I believe and I speak. Now, the verse right before verse 9, which would be verse 8 in Romans 10, says this, the word of faith which we speak, which is in our heart and in our mouth, in our mouth and in our heart, in our mouth. And so it comes around that way. Jesus made the statement. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. I love this. You know, the psalmist said, we would say it this way, put a guard on my mouth. Alert me to what's coming out of my mouth. Holy Spirit, help me. Capture me. Bring to my attention. We'd almost say it this way, arrest my words. Show me what I'm saying. Now, one thing about words that's so important, we need to understand that words are seed. They are seed. And the words that we speak are planting seed. Is that the harvest that you want? Are you speaking words that will produce a harvest that you want that lines up with God's word? Or are you speaking words contrary to what you want? And again, the first thing is, what does God's word say about it? And then to begin to say what God's word says about it. Now, we know this, and we'll kind of finish up with this. We know this, that words are very, very powerful. Words are containers. They're containers. One of the things words contain, we know faith, but another thing words contain, they can contain hope. And if you continually, like with children, if you continually speak the wrong words to children, you'll rob them of the hope of life. And we've got, you know, there's been whole generations of people that have grown up having to overcome words that were spoken to them that drained the hope out of them. They've been told they're ugly. They've been told they're stupid. They've been told they'll never do this. They've been told all these things. That's where you really have to, in helping somebody, emphasize the "but God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved you, even when you were dead in trespasses and sins." Even if you, and I'm going to say it this way, I don't think I'd say this to anybody's face, but I'll say it to all of us. Even if you were ugly, even if you were dumb, even if you couldn't, even if that, by grace you have been saved. You're on the other side of all that now. So now you have to go to the Word of God and begin to say what God says about you. And speak that. And here again, thank God for doctors and all that. But if you're gonna cling to, "I'm depressed because of this," how about a "because of Jesus"? Let's change that over to, "well, because of Jesus." How about, "I was depressed, but God." "I was bipolar, but God." Now, see, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus. I'm just using those as examples. You know, I like to think about it when it comes to, I sometimes thank God for Christian doctors when you can kind of tell them. But sometimes even some of those look at you like you've lost your mind. "Do any of these things run in your family?" And I'm thinking, my family of God has no of these diseases in my family. I'm in a new family now. I'm in the "by Jesus stripes I'm healed" family. We don't have heart disease, diabetes, you know, this or that. We don't have those things. And I understand naturally you're looking, but I'm just going to tell you, and if I had a doctor who was a spirit-filled doctor, and he understood more of that. We got a new doctor now. He's a good Christian man. But it's a process. Amen. So sometimes I just smile. You know, maybe you'll ask me, "Why are you smiling so goofy?" Well, let me tell you. No. Amen. All right, we need to stop there for tonight. All right? Faith is released by speaking. That's our subject tonight. Faith is released by speaking. So all of us need to check up on what we're saying. Are we speaking in alignment with what we believe? Praise the Lord. Our prayer team's coming down right now. If you need prayer for anything, we can dismiss here in a moment. Let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tonight's your night. Amen. God was in Christ, not counting or reckoning your sin against you. All of us sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why God came in Christ. Jesus bore our sin. Hallelujah. Now, having nailed it to the cross, he redeemed us out of the hand of our enemy. God has reconciled himself to us. Tonight, be reconciled to him. The way you do that is by believing in your heart. God raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive today. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. And you want to do that with a witness. So if you're a man and you want to do that tonight, come on down to our men over here. Ladies, come on down to our ladies. And if you need prayer for anything else, you come to them. All right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, did you announce about your prayer group tomorrow night? The prayer group that usually meets in the chapel on Monday nights will be in the choir room. We believe by faith. We're calling things that be not as though they were. We'll be in the choir room tomorrow night because there's an event in the chapel tomorrow evening. And so, but if you're there for that, then Wednesday night, Hour of Power, be here. God bless you. Have a great night. You are dismissed.